So I would like to invite the young or young at heart to come up front with me to listen to the prayer of illumination and also have some fun with scripture, since we'll be acting out the scripture today. How's everybody doing today? Good. So usually before we read the scripture, we pray, and our friend Joanne's going to read it for, pray for us right now. So will you join me in bowing our heads and praying with Joanne?
Let us pray. God of all creation, you have declared that your kingdom is among us. Open our ears to hear it, our hands to serve it, our hearts to hold it. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, so today we are going to act the story out with a little help from our friend Susan. Can I say hi to Susan?
Hi.
Do you want to tell them a little bit about why you like acting things out, Susan?
Good morning, everyone. I've met some of you before. I like acting things out. I work in theater, and in theater we do a lot of acting. I think that storytelling is a great way for people of all different kinds to learn about the stories, and it lets us see the story rather than just hear it, which is always kind of fun, and put it into our bodies, which is always fun as well. So that's why I like acting things out. And we're going to hear a story about two very special people today.
Okay, so we're hearing a story today about two sisters. Do any of you have sisters? Do any of you have a brother? Yeah? I have sisters and one brother. So we're telling a story about two sisters, and I think you may have heard their names before, maybe. Someone named Mary. Not Jesus' mom, Mary. Different Mary. And her sister, Martha. Yeah? No, you don't know this story? Okay, awesome, because we'll get to learn something new today. Great. Well, Susan, will you read the scripture and tell us a dramatic way to, think about the story?
Okay. Let's see if I can find it. Michelle, can you remind me of the scripture passage? What is it?
Yeah, actually, Susan, I have it right here.
You have it right there.
I do.
It's even better.
Excellent.
Look at that. Okay.
Here you go. Okay. Well, you'll have to say some words, and I think one of you will need to be Mary. And one of you will need to be Martha, or we'll have to do groups of Marys and Marthas.
I'll be Mary.
You want to be Mary? Okay. You want to be Martha? Excellent. Okay, let's go over here so everyone can see us. And then I think I'm going to break you up into two groups, Marys and Marthas. And then I need two of you to be Jesus. Who wants to be Jesus? Oh, man, this is a very popular role, I think. Okay. So three of you will be Mary. So if you want to be Mary, come over here. Okay, all three of you are Mary. Awesome. And then three of you are Martha. Over here. If you're Martha, come over here. This hand.
Oh,
that's
Martha.
Okay.
Martha's a really good part.
Martha's a really good part. That's okay. You can just hang out. And you want to be Jesus? Okay. Great. And then some other folks can just be chilling in the house. You can just hang out. Okay, are you ready? Susan, we're ready.
Okay, we're ready.
Tell us what to do.
Okay, so to set the scene, this is going to be taking place at Mary and Martha's house. So if you are Mary, you're about to greet Jesus. If you're Martha, you're doing things like chores and tasks. So we're going to get to that in a second. And then if you're Jesus, you're about to come into Mary and Martha's house. And then everybody else, you're just hanging out with Jesus. So you're in their home. So here we go. You ready? Everybody ready? Got your acting faces on? Okay, good. Okay, here we go. Now, as they went on their way,
He entered a certain village, he is Jesus, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Mm-hmm. All right, so Martha, you can go ahead and welcome Jesus into your house. Amazing. She had a sister named Mary, embodied by three actors. Amazing. And Mary sat at Jesus' feet. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so sit down.
So you're going to sit down at Jesus' feet. Sit you don't down. Have to touch Jesus' feet. That's a different story.
You don't have to touch his feet. You can just sit just at listen. His feet.
And listened to what Jesus was saying. So here we're going to take a pause, and maybe our Marys, this would be a good time. Marys, what do you think Jesus was saying?
What do you think Jesus was saying?
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you think he was telling her maybe about his trip? What do you think you were saying?
About his trip.
About his trip? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
We'll just have it in our imaginations.
Yeah.
Okay, but Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So what tasks do you think Martha was distracted by?
You don't know? What do you think, Jesus?
Making dinner.
Making dinner?
Making dinner. Also, chores might be another word for tasks. Do you all have to do chores? What kinds of chores do you have to do that Mary or Martha might have been doing?
Puzzles.
It's very
I wish puzzles
chore.
Were my kind
right.
of chore.
I wish that
sounds like
my
an
chore.
Excellent chore.
Right. What other kinds of
what
chores?
What do you think?
Do you think she might have been cleaning? Probably cleaning.
Maybe cleaning,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Martha, can you show me some tasking, some actions of tasking?
So what kind of actions do you make with your body when you're doing chores? Like, can someone pretend to vacuum?
There yeah, you like, go, okay.
Maybe.
So Martha was yeah. distracted by her many tasks. She wasn't listening to Jesus. So she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, can you turn to Martha? Make some gestures. Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is only need of one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, everyone. Go back and see what you're Thank you again to our young scripture performers for assisting us with interpreting the Gospel of Luke today. Please pray with me. Holy God, we thank you for being here in our midst, for your presence here with us and with our community spread near and far today. May you be with us in the interpretation of this passage and the learning that will take place today. In your name we pray, amen. One of the tropes in this story is that Mary chose the better part, that she chose the better part because she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and her sister Martha chose the lesser part because she was busy at work. But this encounter is way more complicated than our gender biases and the NRSV translation allows.
Today we'll get reacquainted with a person I consider to be the mother of all deacons, Martha. Often deacons are jokingly referred to as the no one wants to do it, so we give it to the deacons committee. Or they are relegated to the casseroles and greeting cards committee. But celebrations matter, and food matters, but so does acknowledging our deacons and the work that they commit to doing when they say yes to joining with other deacons in the powerful work that God is doing and the ministry of presence and witness that happens. The Book of Order gives us a powerful definition of the function of deacons, one that I often forget when I'm talking about deacons. The Book of Order tells us that deacons perform acts of compassion and witness, acts of service, that they share in the love of Jesus Christ for the poor and the hungry and the sick, the lost, the friendless, the oppressed, and people who are burdened by unjust policies or structures, or anybody in distress. That is an incredibly powerful definition and a commitment that a deacon makes when they sign up for a list like that. We are essentially commissioning them to be the ones on the front end of social justice action, ministering to others and taking risks in living rooms, in hospitals, and on street corners. And today we're going to have a little Greek lesson because the words that we use matter, especially the words we use to describe the work of the church and the work of our very lives. The words that are used to describe Martha's work is actually the word diakonia, which is the root word for the word deacon. And it translates as the word ministry. I'm telling you this because this word is used multiple times in Luke and in Acts and in the letters that the early church wrote. And it is only called a task or serving when describing Martha. In every other place, it is described as ministry, usually referring to men. So the implication here is that Mary was doing the work and Martha was doing none of the work, but because she was a woman, her work was not called ministry, even though that same word was used in the same way to describe what the men were doing everywhere else. And most of the time, the translators don't use that word, the word service or task or preparation, to describe the other pieces of the puzzle. So I'm going to read the verses again to you so you can hear what it sounds like and if you might think about Martha a little differently. So starting in verse 40, Martha was distracted by her many ministries. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the ministry by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Martha's house is the first place they visit after Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan to the lawyer who challenges Jesus, asking Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" And it is, in fact, the same chapter that Gretchen talked about last week when Jesus tells the disciples to travel lightly, to not carry much of a burden, and to receive hospitality, the time when Jesus told them even not to wear shoes as they walk into people's homes. And so Jesus enters this home, this stranger's home, and she provides him space, not only for himself, but also his community. She welcomes him, a stranger, into her home, practicing the ministry of hospitality and the welcome of the stranger. And Mary sits down at the feet of this stranger, the guest, and listens to him share his stories and his teachings. And she, too, practices ministry here, the ministry of presence, an underestimated, unquantifiable kind of ministry. But that kind of ministry really matters. It matters because we each have a presence to give, and we each have a presence to receive. Nowhere does this passage mention a kitchen or a mop or a woman's work to distract Martha. We can safely assume that Jesus was not the only guest in this house of wayfaring travelers, or that he would be the last. We can also safely assume that Martha was busy about the many ministries of her life, like the kind that I just listed from the Book of Order for you. She, in her busy state, sees her sister practicing ministry, but does not think of it that way. She sees her sister sitting and assumes she has abandoned Mary to take care of the widow and the orphan and the stranger all on her own. Though Martha is angry. She is carrying the burden of these vulnerable people in her home, and she's tired of doing it by herself. She needs someone to come alongside her. Her ministry has left her feeling invisible and overworked, and she realizes she's the one doing it all by herself, and possibly she has not asked her sister for help. We do not know what conversations happened between the two sisters before this moment. Perhaps Mary just needs a break. Perhaps she too has been caring for all these strangers coming inside their home and wants to sit down for a minute. Maybe she wants to extend ministry beyond the welcome of food in the belly and a dry place to sleep by listening to this traveler's stories. Ministry means slowing down. Ministry means paying attention to the people around us. And not only do the lists that need accomplishing need to be done, but tending to the hearts of people needs to be done. And Jesus tells Martha that her ministries are distracting her from being present, that her rushing around and staying busy with the work of ministry keeps her from seeing what is right in front of her. A chance to dwell in the presence of the Messiah and receive. Well, Mary sits and dwells, and Mary has figured this out. And I can hear Martha thinking to herself, Jesus, there's a lot to distract me right now. There are hungry children. There are women abandoned by their families. There are widows without husbands to provide for them. There are people experiencing diseases that we can't cure. There are consistent knocks on my door at all times. The more I open the door, the more people are coming inside. How can I say no to them, Jesus? How can I say no to their stories? And I didn't even say no to you, God, when you showed up at my door without wearing any shoes and looking very ragged. And you're telling me to sit down? But Jesus tells Martha that Mary chose the better portion, the side of learning and dwelling, which is a bit disconcerting given that list of injustices that Martha is seeing. Luke seems to praise Martha's impulse to invite Jesus into her home as he prepares to head to Jerusalem towards his death. But now he directly says that she chose the lesser part because she was too preoccupied with caring for others. If she had not slowed down enough to hear Jesus at the door or see him coming up the road, Jesus never would have made it inside. So Martha chose the better part of practicing hospitality in her home, but she still does not slow down enough. But what I don't like about the implication here is the spiritual whiplash of Martha receiving praise and correction from the same person, our author of the Gospel, Luke. Luke does not seem to understand the importance of Martha's role in her community, belittling her ministry and calling them tasks. He does not understand the power of her welcome and the role that the two sisters play as a team of ministers in their community. And he doesn't even bother to credential them by telling us the name of their town in this story. The Gospel of Luke does that. I mean, the Gospel of John does that, but Luke does not. So one could assume that this story was written just so women would sit down and listen to men talk, as if that was the moral of the story. But I don't think that's what we're supposed to learn in this story today. I think Mary and Martha are asking us to see them a little differently this morning. Can you wipe away the image you have of them and encounter them a little differently today? The better part is not sitting down and shutting up. The better part is not a flurry of activity that leaves us exhausted and resentful. The better part of ministry comes from a place of fullness, The better part of service is on behalf of others, without sacrificing our personhood or our well-being. The better part is believing in the power of what the Book of Order tells us deacons do every day. Deacons who open doors, like Martha did. The ones who let people in who don't have shoes on and might look like something the cat dragged in. Mary and Martha embody this list. Compassion and witness and service, sharing the redeeming love of Christ, assisting those who are burdened by unjust policies or structures. But I believe that we are all deacons in our own way, that God invites each and every one of us into the ministry of compassion, of service, and of witness, that God invites each and every one of us to share the love of Jesus Christ for the visibly and invisibly vulnerable. Not all of us show our need. Some of us hide it quite easily. But God asks each of us to choose the better part, to choose welcome, to choose presence, to choose love. Amen.